Open them up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 13. And the Romans, the book of Romans chapter 8 is considered by many to be the greatest Bible in the New Testament. And people go there time and time again to find encouragement and help. And I have found it to be very encouraging, but I've also found it to be very stressful. And by stressful, what I mean is I have been struggling with this sermon all week long. Actually, before we got to this week. And the reason I struggle is because there is so much in these verses that is so incredibly important for us to know to be able to live the Christian life. And when you take Romans chapter 7, the end of that chapter, and you go into chapter 8, you see a very, very crucial part of Scripture that will tell you and me how to live the Christian life. And in these verses this morning, we will find how the Holy Spirit plays into this picture of living for Christ. Because you see, a lot of Baptists think that the way that you live for Christ is you go to church, you read your Bible, you pray, and you get baptized and all that. And those are things that you do, but to live the Christian life, you absolutely 100% have to have this. You cannot live the Christian life without this. And even if you know it, you have to learn how to live it. And that one thing is the Holy Spirit. The most important thing for living the Christian life is not church attendance or reading your Bible or praying or giving your offering. Those are things that you do. The most important thing for you to live the Christian life, for me to live the Christian life, is the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of abuses about the Holy Spirit, but when it comes down to it, it is the power that you have to live the life. And it doesn't matter if you're a teenager or you're an adult. If you do not allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you're not going to, first of all, enjoy being a Christian. And you're going to be kind of lifeless. Because the Holy Spirit is like it's the power. Another way to put it, the Holy Spirit living in me is the power for me to be able to live this life. Now, let's look, and I want you to see it, because this is cool. At least it's cool to me. It may not be cool to you. But in the end of Romans chapter 7, that passage that we talked about a couple weeks ago is where Paul gets honest in chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. And he basically says, I can't live the Christian life. Remember, he said in verse 14, he said, the trouble is with me, for I am all too human. Paul says the problem with living the Christian life is not you, it's not temptation, it's me. And then if you'll look at verse 15, he said this, and every one of us, if we're honest, have been here. He says, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Man, if that doesn't describe the Christian life, I don't know what does. I mean, there's been so many times in my life that I've wanted to do the right thing, and yet I didn't do it, and the problem was me. And Paul, this is the Apostle Paul, who's telling us about his frustration that he can't live the Christian life. And he gets to the point where he says this. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Why was he miserable? He was miserable because he couldn't live the Christian life. He would try. He would have good motives, and then he would mess up, and then he would be frustrated. And it is encouraging to me that the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you can't live it in your flesh. You can't live it in your willpower. The Christian life is not lived in one's willpower. It's lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul ends chapter 7 by saying, I'm such a failure. I'm miserable. I'm not worth anything because I can't do what I want to do. And then he talks about the solution. He says in verse 25, thank God the answer is Jesus Christ. And that is so true. The answer for the problem that we all have of living the Christian life is Jesus Christ. And then he goes into verse 1 where he says the beautiful statement, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And Paul says, yeah, I'm just a miserable mess. I can't do what I want to do for God. I'm just a failure. And then he says in verse 1, he says, but thank goodness I'm not guilty because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. You see, I stand here before you today frustrated with my own self because I don't always do what I want to do. But I also stand before you today to say thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole reason he went to the cross and died for you is because you could not live the life. If you could live the life, if you could be spiritual in your own strength, he wouldn't have needed to die. But the truth is, you can't do it in your own strength. You need a different power source to be able to live the Christian life. And yet I meet Christians all the time that say, I give up. I've tried. I've tried to read my Bible. I've tried to be good. I've tried to quit. I mean, what have you tried to quit? First of all, the problem is, I tried. It's not about you trying. It's about Him helping you. And this is such a difficult thing to get across, but it really comes down to this morning. And this is true for every Christian that's here this morning. It really comes down to this. Who's in control of your life? That's the real question this morning. And what Paul is going to show us in these verses, there's really only two kind of people in the world. Saved and lost. Those who live according to the flesh or their sinful nature, and those who live according to the Spirit. And so this morning, you're either one of those two. If you are one who has trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we will find out this morning that you have the ability to live for Him with His help. But it all comes down, who's in control of your life? I mean, it really does come down to that. Do you know in the Scripture, in Ephesians, we're actually commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Did you know that? We are commanded. It's not a suggestion. In Ephesians, he says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled means controlled. That means when you leave this place today, when you get up tomorrow, you are to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. It really comes down to who is in control of your life. If you're in control, even as a Christian, if you're trying to somehow run your life and make the decisions, it ends in death and mistakes. You don't lose your salvation. I'm not talking about that. But when you try to live the Christian life, it ends up in mistakes. But here's the good news. When you allow the Holy Spirit to live through you, there's victory. What's the key to setting a church on fire? More sermons, better preach? No, it's the Holy Spirit's turned loose in believers. I mean, Paul puts this so clearly in these verses. He talks about who is in control. Is it the sin nature or is it you? So let's look at verses 5 and following. It says in verse 5, and I love the way it states this, and you're going to see the contrast. He's contrasting saved and unsaved. There's not kind of saved. Do you understand that, right? There's not, I'm kind of a Christian, I'm maybe a Christian. It's either saved or unsaved. That's what he's talking about here in these verses. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. And then it says, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So here's a question you need to understand the answer. If you're a Christian, it's because the Holy Spirit's living within you. That's why there are certain religions that don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit that are not considered Christian. Mormons, for instance, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in the Holy Spirit. There was a guy on my tennis team who was the coach when I was at Baylor, and he was the leader of a cult called The Way, and they did not believe in the Holy Spirit. And one night he got so angry with me because we had a little debate about the Holy Spirit. And he basically told me I was possessed of the devil and wanted nothing else to do with me. I'll never forget that. And what was the issue over? It was over the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit, and I hopefully will make this clear in a second, the Holy Spirit is God living with you. It's Christ living in you. It's the living, powerful Spirit that has the ability to set you free from sin on a daily basis. Christ on the cross sets you free from your sin nature. The Holy Spirit living in you gives you the ability to be set free from the daily temptations and sins you struggle with. He says in verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. And then he gets to verse 12. He gets practical, okay? He says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Let me just stop there. Sam and I were talking about this week. Sometimes people think that preachers don't struggle with things that they struggle with. Let me tell you something. I was telling Sam, I said, listen, there have been times in my life, and will continue to be in my life, when someone hacks me off, you know what that means, makes you mad, and to be honest, I want to whip their tail. It is a battle. Why? Because my sin nature wants to do that. But you know what I have to do? Let the Spirit control. Because the Spirit does not function that way. Peace, love, joy, all those things that are so difficult. But here's what I'm saying. Everybody struggles with the temptation to do wrong, right? But here's the deal. You don't have to give in to it. He says you're not under obligation. Why are you not under obligation? Because the Holy Spirit lives within you. The power of God lives within you. And you and I have the ability to say no to temptation and to say no to sin, not because we go to church more than anybody else or we pray more or memorize more scripture. We have the ability to say no because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And that's the power source. See, we have thought so long that it's about what you do that helps you live the Christian life. Please understand, it's about who lives in you that helps you live the Christian life. Paul is trying to, so he gets to verse 12. He says, you're under no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. And then he says this in verse 13. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. Now, he's not talking about losing your salvation. But if I, as a Christian, live by my fleshy nature when it tempts me, guess what? Death happens. Relationships that fall apart because of people who are led by their sinful nature, not by the Spirit of God. We fall short of God's plan for our life when we live by our sinful nature instead of the power of God. When we allow the Holy Spirit not to work within us. And so Paul is talking, he says in verse 13, he says, but if through the power, and I love that, the power of the Holy Spirit is the power source in your life to live the life. He says, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Now, my life is no different from your life. For me to do right, I have to choose to put to death those things that I'm tempted to do. It's no different. There's not a pill that you take that helps you be holy. It's a decision you make to allow the Holy Spirit to help you, to strengthen you, to do what is right. He says, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. So let's just kind of get this into simple terms. First question you need to ask yourself, are you dominated by your sinful nature? You see, when you come into this world, you have within you this sinful nature. There is this part of me that wants to do wrong. And there's a part of you that wants to do wrong. Am I right on that? We all know this temptation. Now, here's the difference. There are some people that doing wrong, living without Jesus, is the way they live life. The Bible says before you meet Jesus, you're considered dead. You're dead in your sin and your trespasses. So before Christ, the Bible says you are what? Dead. And you don't have the power to say no to the temptations to do wrong. As a matter of fact, you don't think it's wrong. That is one of the things that just is so clear to me, is that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have a rule of what's right and what's wrong. That's what we see in our world today. Everybody in the world today decides what is sin and what is not sin. That's crazy. And if you look in this passage, you will see what happens. He talks about in the verse where unsaved people think about what? Sinful things. It's just natural. And you can look at Galatians chapter 5. You say, well, what are sinful things? Well, sinful things are considered the deeds of the flesh. It's what our sin nature wants to do. Listen to the list in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, when you follow them, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry. Now, all Baptists are like, yeah, boy, you don't... That sexual stuff, that's important. Yeah, it is. But do you know idolatry is something we're all tempted to have on a daily basis? Idolatry is when you put anything between you and God. It could be your family, it could be your hobby, it could be anything. Idolatry is when you put anything between you and God. And then look what he says, sorcery. It's the word we get drugs from. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions. Do you mean those people are going to hell? Absolutely. Do you know if you struggle with those personality problems, that's just as wrong as the immorality problems. I see people get so angry about immorality and they go crazy with their anger. What is the difference? There's none. It's sin. It's your sin nature. It wants to do those things. And so we need to understand that there are those people who are run by their sin nature who do not see sin as a problem. I have a question. Who defines what is sin in your life? Who defines what is sin in your life? You? God does, and He tells us through God's Word. But who decides what is sin? See, in America, it's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you think's right. But that's not biblical. He describes these people who are in the flesh as being those people who think about sinful things. Then he says this about them. He says their sinful nature, he says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Those who don't know Jesus Christ are dead, spiritually speaking. He goes on to say that the person who's in their sin nature is hostile to God. You see, it's offensive to God when we don't need Him, when we don't need salvation. And this whole notion that I'm a good old boy and I get into heaven by my good old deeds is crazy. It's hostile to God. And then the person who's in their sinful nature, they don't care about obeying the Bible. Why? It's just what sinful people do. And then he says this. He says, those who are controlled by their sinful nature can never please God. And you're saying, oh, those evil people. No, anybody who thinks they can live the Christian life in their own power, in their own power, is someone who is, according to Paul, a person who can never please God. You see, if I try my very hardest to live for Christ and I do a pretty good job of it, I still fall short. Why? Because I sin. So the question we have to ask ourselves, who's controlling you? Is your sin nature... Listen, if you can sin and it doesn't bother you, it ought to bother you. When you don't weep over your shortcomings, when it doesn't bother you when you lose it, when it doesn't bother you when you do that thing you don't want to do, when it doesn't bother you, that's scary. It doesn't bother people who live by their sin nature. That's why Christians don't need to get upset with non-Christians when they don't have the same convictions we do. Why would they? They don't believe our Bible. They don't believe in God's plan of salvation, His purpose. So we've got to understand that if our sin nature is controlled, we're not going to be bothered by sin in our life. We're not going to be bothered by any sin. We're good. But the thing I want you to see is then Paul says the second thing that I want you to think about in a different version is, are you worldly? Because see, I wrote this sermon, I had to go back and put 1 Corinthians 3 in because I want you to look at where a lot of us are this morning. Oh, we say we're not dominated by our sinful nature, and that's good. I don't want anybody to be. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he describes people who are struggling with their sin nature. Look at verse 1. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready. Now, here's what I want you to notice. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. It is possible for a Christian to be controlled by their sinful nature. They make choices that are not the right choices. And what Paul describes that person as being an immature Christian. There are Christians who don't say no to sin. There are Christians who allow things in their life they shouldn't. And the Bible says you are worldly when you live like that. And he describes them. He says, listen. He says, you're still not ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. And then listen. He says, you are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are still controlled by your sinful nature? Do you realize that when you can't get along with other Christians, you got a problem? Isn't that what it says there? You can't get along. And the problem is, we're worldly. One of the temptations you have as a Christian, one of the temptations I have as a Christian, is that I, even though I'm saved, don't always have the right kind of thinking. What is the thinking? Christ. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. But I promise you, one of the major problems today in the church is we're worldly. Doesn't mean you like the latest fashion. It means you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. Now, that gets to the third question. Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? Do you realize in the book of Romans, the amazing thing to me about the book of Romans, that only one time in the first seven chapters is the Holy Spirit even mentioned. But when you get to chapter 8, it's mentioned 20 times in that one chapter. And what he's talking about in chapter 8 is how we as Christians can live not according to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. He's talking about how to live for Christ, how to be free, how to defeat your sin nature. And that's where most of us, including myself, am always needing to be. Lord, how do I do it? He describes what it's like to live in the Spirit. If you look at verse 5, the bad news was that they think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Listen, if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're going to think about God. You're going to think about spiritual things. If you're controlled by the flesh, you're probably not. And then he says, if you're controlled by the Spirit, if it controls your mind, it leads to what? Life and peace. That word life is that word we looked at John. It's the word Zoe. It means life with God. It means meaningful life. It means eternal life. And so there are a lot of Christians who are saying, man, living the Christian life is just not very good. And the reason it's not very good is because the Spirit's not the one in control of it. Because he says here, the Spirit, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. When you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you don't doubt Him. And then he says, if you look down in verse 9, he says, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of God living in them do not belong to Him. The power source, according to Paul, is the Holy Spirit living within you. Now, real quick, and then we're about done. I want to try to teach you a few things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, there's some confusion about this. When do you receive the Holy Spirit? You receive it at salvation. You don't get it later on. In Ephesians 1:13, he says, and now you Gentiles, I have also heard the truth, the good news, that God saves you. And listen to this. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the what? Holy Spirit. Here's what happens. When you believed in Christ, when you trusted what He did for you on the cross, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. And He never leaves. Now, He may not control you, but He never leaves. So it comes at salvation. The second thing, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In other words, when He comes into your life, He saves you to change you. The old is gone. What? The old way of living. What? The new way of living has come. There needs to be change when Christ comes into our heart. Now, you say, well, how much should it change? I don't know. But I just know this. If Christ came to change us, He should change us, right? We should act differently. Why? Because we are new creations. So the Holy Spirit comes at salvation. The Holy Spirit comes to change us. Then the third thing we need to realize is it says this in Galatians 5:24. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. He says, okay, you're a new creation, but here's the journey. The journey for you and I to be Spirit-filled Christians is to live every single day for Jesus Christ. It's a decision to say, I want you to be in control. I don't want to be in control. But the problem is, we want to be in control. We want to tell Him what we want to do. And that's why in Romans 12:2 it says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Now, how does He do that? Well, look, He says right after that, but let God transfer you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your mind, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you see sin. It changes the way you see people. Change comes when He changes us from within. And what's the change agent? It's the Holy Spirit. And then you get to that verse in verse 13. He says, but if through the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? Three things. You sum up all these verses, I think these three things are true. Number one, being a Christian means saying no to the control of the sinful nature. In other words, being a Christian means that you have to say no to the control of the sinful nature and having my mind on what the Spirit of God desires. In other words, I really believe that as a Christian, my first step is to say no to my sinful nature and to say yes to God. That's a daily decision I make. I think the second thing is this. Whenever I give control of my life to my sinful nature, which we all do from time to time, whenever I give control of my life to my sinful nature, I am not in harmony with who I am in Christ and will experience a form of spiritual and emotional death. When you're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's no joy. It's work. Going to church is work. Living for Jesus is work. Whenever your sinful nature is in control, there's no joy. I actually believe that every day ought to be a joy to live for Christ. I really believe that. And here's what I know by my own personal experience. When I don't live for Him, it's not joy. There have been times I've said, Lord, give me back my joy of your salvation. When you choose to do wrong, you lose your joy. Third thing, here's the good thing. Whenever I live in obedience to God, whenever I follow the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, I am living in harmony with my new nature. You see, God created you to be a different person. Salvation ought to change you to be a different kind of person. And he said, and I believe this, it says that whenever you're living in obedience to God, you will find a life in peace that is just awesome. Let me give you an example. We went to a concert Thursday night. We went to the concert in Little Rock, and no preaching, which I enjoy that, quite honestly. But we were there for over 3 hours. There were three groups, Hillsong, Elevation, and Casting Crowns. So we go there, and you know, sometimes you just get tired at life. And for 3 hours, we worshiped a Savior who had defeated death. Now, I'm not a very good singer. You can ask my wife. But I'm telling you, by the end of that concert, there was a joy I can't describe to you. We talked about the resurrection setting us free. We talked about being free in Christ. We talked about the difference that He made. And we sang. I listened to other people sing. And I thought, how crazy that in a big building with a lot of people with no preaching, there was life. There was life. And that life was because we were worshiping. It was as if, I felt as if Jesus was there and everybody was just singing to Him. Let me tell you, you want joy? You get your life like that. Where worship is all about Him and surrender to Him. Who's controlling you this morning? Are you justifying sin? Are you doing your own thing? Or is the Holy Spirit of God leading you and guiding you on a daily basis? If you want fun, if you want joy, let Him be in control. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Holy Spirit. It's so mysterious, and yet it's so real. That when we receive You as our Lord and Savior, You come to dwell within us. And Father, that power within us gives us the ability to defeat our sin nature. Father, it's fun being a follower of Christ. Not fun as in we have more fun because we have gadgets. There's a joy that comes from following Christ. And a joy for living for Him. And I pray that the church, including First Baptist Mount Ida, would let the Holy Spirit rule and bring life and peace to a world that needs it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.